Our scripture this morning will be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It'll be up on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I would like to turn to it, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to give you just a little bit of background information before we get into the scripture here. 1 Timothy was a letter written by Paul the Apostle to a young preacher named Timothy. And this Timothy, he was a young preacher, and he was almost like a son to Paul. When Timothy receives this letter, he's working at the church in Ephesus. It was a very difficult ministry. Paul established a church in Ephesus. He had been there 3 years working with the church. He built it upon a strong foundation, but some false teachers had infiltrated the church. And Paul and Timothy, they went to Ephesus together to kind of work with this mess. But Paul had to leave and go to Macedonia. So Timothy, this young preacher, is there all by himself. And Timothy was young. He was probably in his late 20s at this time. He wasn't well. He had some stomach problems. Probably because he had to deal with people like he was dealing with. And from 1st and 2nd Timothy, we get the idea that he was kind of shy. Timothy might have been just a little timid. So Paul tells him in 1st Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrine. Paul wanted Timothy to stay there. I think Timothy was thinking of leaving, going somewhere else. Ephesus wasn't his home. Maybe he could go somewhere where he would be appreciated. Maybe he could go somewhere where his stomach wouldn't hurt so much. So Paul writes again in 2 Timothy, and he says to him, you stay there, you preach the word, you be in season and out of season, you discharge the duties of an evangelist. So Timothy's task was not an easy one. These false teachers were powerful figures in the church. They were evidently real well-liked. They were charismatic. They had these engaging personalities. People enjoyed their teaching. Their Sunday school classes, you know, were full, but Paul says their lives were empty. Now, it's not only their teaching that was false, they were also living ungodly lives. Paul calls them hypocritical liars. He says they displayed the form of godliness but deny its power. So they were all show, no substance, all talk, no walk. They are imitations, you see, of the real thing. So Paul commands Timothy in this letter, he commands them to teach these men not to teach false doctrine. And then he's going to tell Timothy, don't be like them. Don't be hypocritical. Don't just pretend to be godly, but you be godly. So he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of the scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, Paul was saying to Timothy, you know what? You need to set an example for these believers. On one hand, you have these hypocritical liars, this imitation Christianity. And Paul wants these Christians in Ephesus to see what Christianity is all about. He wants Timothy to live a life that is worth imitating. He wants Timothy to live a Christian life that is real, a Christian life that is genuine. He wants Timothy to set an example for others. Chuck Swindoll tells a story about a little 3-year-old boy who followed his grandfather around wherever he went. He went golfing with his grandfather. And he watched his grandfather golf, and he actually learned to golf from his grandfather. And the first few times they went golfing, the boy just rode in the golf cart around the course with him. But then his grandfather bought him a little bag of clubs, plastic clubs, that he could have for his own. And when they went to the golf club, his grandfather would let the boy put a tee in and drive the little plastic golf ball. Then he would ride the cart until they got to the putting green. Then he'd put the ball down. The little boy, 3 years old, could putt until he got the ball in. And over the course of the summer, the little boy got a little bit better. Well, at the end of the summer, they were having a family picnic, and grandfather said, hey, my grandson's been going to the golf course with me. He's really becoming a good little golfer for a 3-year-old. And he said to his grandson, well, why don't you go in the house, get your bag of golf clubs, come out here, and show these people how you can golf. So the boy went in, brought the golf clubs out. Grandfather put a tee in the ground, put that little plastic ball on the tee for the boy. And the boy swung that golf club, and he hit that ball. And when he was done, he said what his parents called a few no-no words. And then he threw his golf club against the pear tree. So evidently, he learned more than golf from his grandfather. Now, we need to make sure that we set, that by our behavior, we set a proper example. Back in the beginning of the last century, there was a preacher by the name of Will Houghton. He later became a president of a Bible college. There was also an Gnostic who lived in the town where he lived. And this guy had been watching some lives of Christians, and he just thought they did not do what they said they believed. And he was watching some preachers. He thought the same thing. And he just really was thinking committing suicide because he thought there was no reason to live. But before he did that, he thought he'd try to find a preacher maybe whose life would match what he was teaching. And he talked to him and maybe give him a chance. So this guy actually hired a detective, a private investigator, to follow this Will Houghton around. And he went and he sat and he listened to Will Houghton preach. He followed him everywhere he went. He went to a baseball game, sat behind him at a baseball game. When he would go to visit people, he followed him. He was hoping maybe he'd catch him going to visit some woman, maybe catch the preacher in some immoral activity. He watched him one day go into a bar. He thought, I got the preacher now. But the preacher came out with a guy who was drunk, and he put him in his car and took him home to his family. This investigator even went to his mailbox, checked it, thought maybe he'd see if the preacher was getting some maybe sleazy magazines or something. So he followed the preacher everywhere and went, watched every step that he made. Finally ended up going back to the Gnostic and giving the report that this preacher, he was the real deal. So the Gnostic started going to his church. Then he talked to Will Houghton, and he became a Christian. And years later, when Will Houghton became the president of a Bible college, when this man's daughter was old enough to go to college, that's where he sent her. And all that happened because of this example that this man set in the ministry. I want you to see that there are a number of passages that talk about how important it is that we set an example. All we need to preach the word. Now, Paul made that clear to Timothy, but we also need to set an example. Matthew chapter 5:16. That's a picture of Will Houghton, by the way. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men, that you may see your good deeds and praise the Father in heaven. In John chapter 13, Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples, not because he's commanded to do so, because he's a servant, because he wants to. And he set an example, and he says, I have set an example that you should do as I have done. 1 Peter, we read, for it is God's will that you, by doing good, should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Titus chapter 2, verse 7, and everything set them an example by doing what is good. And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The Bible talks about this ministry of example over and over and over again. So what I want to do this morning is just make three observations about this ministry of example. Number one, this ministry of example can be yours no matter what your age. Paul said to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for all believers. It doesn't matter if you're young or old or somewhere in between. God wants you as a Christian to set an example for others. Bob Welch wrote a book on fatherhood called The Father of All Seasons, For All Seasons. And he tells about his son Jason, who was in seventh grade. And Jason was the smallest boy in his class. He was on a little league team, and he was the smallest one in his little league team. Well, Bob went to watch his son play. He didn't get to do that often, and he went to watch his son play. And he got up to bat, and the pitcher was about a foot taller than his son, Jason. And he threw the first pitch, and it just blazed past Jason. He swung after the ball was already in the catcher's mitt, strike one. The next pitch scorched past him, and he swung again and missed it, strike two. And then the next pitch hit him. At least that's what the umpire said, just grazed his shirt. And Jason turned to the umpire and said, that ball didn't hit me. And the umpire said, hit you, take your base. And Jason said, no, it didn't hit me. I wasn't hit by the ball. And the umpire said, hit you, take your base. And all the coach and all the other baseball players are saying, take your base, because Jason never got a hit. You know, and this guy was so much bigger and more powerful than him, the pitcher, take your base. But Jason said to the umpire, I'm telling you the truth. I don't lie. That ball did not hit me. And the umpire just shrugged his shoulders, and he looked at the first base umpire, and he shrugged his shoulders, and he said, batter up. And Jason got the hit. And the pitcher wound up, and he threw that ball, and it came in there blazing again. Jason swung the ball at the ball, and he hit it out in center field, and he got a double. And he's standing out there, and Bob Welch says he's standing behind the coach and assistant coach, and they don't know who he is. But he's standing behind them, and the coach spits a sunflower seed on the ground, and he says, man, you gotta love that. You gotta love that. And that's something, you see, you have to love it. When a young person shows that type of integrity and character, you see, it catches people's attention. And what I'm saying, the ministry of example can be yours, whether you're in elementary school, or in middle school, or in high school, or in college, or a young adult, or a middle-aged adult, or whether you're a member of AARP, it doesn't matter. You know, the ministry of example can be yours. And then we need to see this. We are to set an example for believers. Don't misunderstand me here. We are certainly to set an example for those who are not believers. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. We are to set an example. We know that for unbelievers. But here in this passage, Paul specifically tells Timothy, here, your job right here in Ephesus is to set an example for these Christians, for the believers. He said, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. We are to set an example for one another. When a husband says, you know, we worked really hard in the yard yesterday, and I think we deserve a rest, so I think we ought to just skip church today and take it easy. Have a relaxing breakfast, enjoy the paper, and just do nothing. And the wife, you know, can set a wonderful example, or you can change it around however you want. Oh, honey, we can't do that. You know, I don't think Jesus felt like going to the cross on that Friday, but he did it so we can have this Sunday. I'm getting dressed to go to church. I hope you will too. You see, the wife can set an example. The husband can example. We can all set an example for others. Our actions speak loudly. Other believers watch and listen to what we say and watch what we do. They notice our commitment. And we set an example. And it's either an example that encourages faithfulness or one that encourages a lackadaisical attitude. It's going to put God first only when it's convenient. And Paul did not want people to look at Timothy and see a convenient Christianity. He wanted them to look at Timothy and see an example of someone who is completely committed and completely sold out to Christ. A man named Joe was a drunk downtown Chicago, went to this mission often because he had nowhere to stay. He was homeless. He was mean. He was dirty. If he saw someone laying on the ground, another homeless person, he would, you know, take whatever he could if that person was asleep. I mean, he did not talk to anybody. He was just a mean man. He was known as a mean man. But he converted. He became a Christian, and it just changed everything about him. He cleaned up. He quit drinking. He went and he worked at the mission. He would be there, and since he was homeless and a drunk at one time, he would help these guys who would come in who just got sick to the stomach because of the way they drink, and he'd clean up that mess. He would clean the bathrooms. He would help serve the meals. He would wash the floors. He would talk to each and every person who came in there. Before he wouldn't talk to anybody. Now he was just the nicest guy in the world, just offering help in any way he could. And Joe died. And they had the funeral service for him at the mission. And the director of the mission was the one who spoke. And after he spoke, as the folks left, this one guy came up. And he wasn't completely sober even at that time. But he asked the director to pray for him. And he said, here's what I want you to pray for. Pray that God will make me like Joe. God, make me like Joe. God, make me like Joe. He saw something in Joe's life. He wanted to be like that. And the director, the preacher, said, you know what? I think it might be better that we pray, God, make me like Jesus. And the man looked at the director with a kind of perplexed look on his face, and he said, is Jesus like Joe? You see, for some people, the only Jesus they see will be through you. And what a difference Joe made in that man's life. The example that you set, that we set in our daily lives, the example we set as we drive the church, the example we set as we rub shoulders with other Christians, the example we set in speech and love and in faith and purity, I want to tell you, it makes a bigger impact than you can ever imagine. And if you determine that you will have a ministry of example, you will raise the spiritual temperature in your family, and you will help raise the spiritual temperature in our church. Sometimes we Christians need to be reminded what living for Jesus is all about. Sometimes we need another Christian leading the way, setting an example to help us do what we are supposed to do. Milton Cunningham was a missionary in Africa for a long time. He was coming home on a furlough, and he had a long flight. He flew home, and then he was flying from Dallas to Atlanta, just a few-hour flight. But as he got on the plane, you know how that is. You walk on the plane. He had a seat assigned to him, and most planes have three seats on each side. This one did also. And he was assigned the dreaded middle seat. No one wants the middle seat, you know. The end seat's okay. You can kind of lean out to the aisle a little bit and stretch out. The seat by the window's okay. You can kind of lean your head against the side and go to sleep. But the middle seat, you have to even fight for the armrest, you know. Nobody wants the middle seat. But that's what he got, the middle seat. But nobody was sitting in the end seat when he sat down. And when he sat down, there was a girl, a young girl, sitting in the window seat. And it was obvious that she had Down syndrome. He sat down, and she said hi, and he said hi, and they had a little conversation. And it looked like nobody was going to sit on that end seat. But just before the plane was getting ready to take off, a man rushed in, a businessman. He was wearing a $1,000 suit. He was carrying a briefcase and a laptop. And as soon as the plane took off and he was allowed, he took that laptop out, and he began to work at his seat there. It was obvious that he was busy. He was an important man. He wasn't going to talk to anybody. He said nothing to Milton, and he said nothing to the little girl. He just sat there working. Well, Milton took out his book, and he began to work, began to read. And he was reading for a while when he felt a tug on his arm. And that little girl looked up at him and said, "Mister, did you brush your teeth this morning?" And he said, "Yes, dear, I brushed my teeth this morning. I always brush my teeth." And she said, "That's good. That's good. You ought to brush your teeth." Well, he went back to reading the book. A little bit later, there's a tug on his arm. "Mister, do you smoke?" And he looked at her and said, "No, dear, I don't smoke. I've never smoked." She said, "That's good. Smoking's not good for you. Don't smoke." And goes back to reading his book. And pretty soon, there's a little tug on his arm. Mister, do you love Jesus?" And he said, "Oh, yes, dear. I love Jesus with all my heart." And she said, "That's good. That's good. You need to love Jesus." He went back to reading his book. Pretty soon, before you know it, there's another tug on his arm. And the little girl looked up to him, and she kind of leaned out, and she kind of pointed to the guy, the businessman, and said, "Ask him. Ask him if he brushed his teeth this morning." And Milton said, "No, I'm not going to do that." I mean, he's busy. Look, he's working. I'm not going to ask him if he brushed his teeth this morning. And the girl said, "Ask him. Ask him." So he said, "Excuse me, sir. My little friend here wants to know if you brushed your teeth this morning." And the man, you know, had this funny look on his face. And he leaned forward. He looked at the little girl and said, "Yes, I brushed my teeth this morning." He went back to work. Milton went back to reading his book. Pretty soon there was a tug on his arm. The little girl said, "Ask him. Ask him if he smokes." Milton said, "I don't want to ask him if he smokes. He's busy. He's a businessman. He's doing work. Ask him if he smokes. I ask him if he smokes." So he asked the man, "My little friend here wants to know, do you smoke?" And the man said, leaned over, I used to smoke. I don't smoke anymore." Girl said, "That's good. Smoking's not good for you." Milton went back to reading his book. Pretty soon, his little tug on his arm. He knows what's coming now. "Ask the man. Ask the man if he loves Jesus." And Milton said, "No, you know, I mean, I've asked him two other questions. The man's really busy. I'm not going to get into this with him. No, I'm not going to ask him. Ask him. Ask him if he loves Jesus. No, this is important. Ask him if he loves Jesus." So Milton turned to the man and said, "My little friend here wants to know if you love Jesus." And Milton said, the man got this really angry look on his face for a moment, and then it changed. And he said, I don't even know if I believe God. But with the way things are going in my life right now, I ought to try to find out if he's real. But I don't even know where to begin." And Milton smiled, and he said, for the next 2.5 hours, that's what he did. He talked to that man about Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Milton was a missionary coming home from the mission field, but it took the example of a little girl to get him to do what he should have done in the first place. You have to love that, don't you? When little kids set an example like that. The last thing I want you to see is the ministry example can be yours even if you're not perfect. Some of you may be thinking, that's great, the ministry example is really powerful. God uses a life that looks like Jesus. But you don't know what my life is like. You don't know the things that I'm struggling with. And I just don't think that I can be that kind of person. I'm not perfect. But the fact is, folks, that's the only type of people there are, people who are imperfect. And God has always used imperfect people. He always has. Notice Paul doesn't say, let these people see your perfection. Notice what he says. He says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everybody may see your what? What does he say? Progress. Everybody may see your progress. You see, Christ-likeness isn't a destination. Christ-likeness is a journey. You never become sinless in this world, but you do sin less. The ministry example isn't about letting people see your greatness. It's about letting them see your growth. It's not about letting them see your perfection. It's about letting them see your progress. It's about letting them see that you are growing in your faith and you are chasing after Jesus and you are trying to let him transform you. Now, you may never arrive at that destination here in this life, but you are committed to the journey. And listen, if God can use a liar like Abraham, if he can use a murderer like Moses, if he can use a prostitute like Rahab, if he can use an adulterer like David, if he can use a couple of hot-headed men like James and John, if he can use a knucklehead like Peter, and if he can use the worst of all sinners like Paul, just think then of what God can do in and through you. You set the example. You show people that you are growing in Christ. Show people you are progressing in Christ. You set an example in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And folks, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed the impact you will have on the lives of others. So if you're here this morning as a Christian, that's a challenge for you. Take up this ministry of example. Set an example for others in and through your life. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, the first thing you need to do to be able to set that example is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that's a simple thing to do. All you have to do is have faith in Christ, a faith that leads you to do something, to be obedient to Christ, a faith that causes you to confess him, to repent of your sins. That means to turn away from your direction and go the direction God would have you to go, and then to be baptized into Christ. The Bible says for a particular reason, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and to receive the forgiveness of your sins. That's called being born again. If you're here this morning and you need to become a Christian, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And as we sing, if you come forward, we have our baptistry ready. The water is warm, and we can baptize you into Christ this morning. Let's be standing as we sing together.